program. Who art in memory, hallowed be thy name. Thy spreadsheets be formatted, thy code be downloaded from disk as it will be in memory. Give us on screen our data spreadsheets and forgive us our typos, as we forgive those who ask what we document. Lead us not into frustration, but deliver us from glitches, for thine is the algorithm, the application, and the solution, looping forever and ever. Return.
Welcome to Technorama, the show that shoots sparks if you crunch on it in the dark. Shoots sparks if you crunch on it.
Or if you step on us, we'll spark out too.
This is show number 79 for January 30th, 2006. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is my co-host, Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I am good. And you, Chuck Holtz?
I'm feeling holier than thou with that intro.
I know.
It was a good one for a Sunday.
Yeah, that's right.
There's holy water all over my laptop.
You sprayed it through your nose.
If I sound a little worn out, it's because last night was our annual winter party, and I'm pooped, and my throat is a little sore. You got
an annual winter party?
Yeah, we have a winter party every year. It's a Christmas party, only it's a month late, because we can't reserve any halls around
Christmas.
What's
the Flickr address, and whether there's some good pictures?
There was one point where I was dancing on the table, so leave it at that. Oh, no, you'd never guess.
What, they start playing the Technorama music and you didn't know it and then jumped on the table and
the
you heard
the guy
it?
He said, everybody's not dancing, so I want people, this is the way he said it, I want that table and that table on the dance floor. So we picked up the table and moved it on the dance floor.
Ha, ha, ha.
Took it too literally. How's your week been?
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. It was long. Actually, wasn't too bad, and I capped off. You know, my birthday was last Wednesday. Capped it off this week. I went to the State Museum with my dad and saw the Norman Rockwell collection. This is the last day, and I'm a huge Norman Rockwell fan. And that stuff was awesome. They had 300 of the Saturday Evening Post albums or covers.
Yeah,
they had about 300 of those, and they had some of the life-size paintings that he did. The paintings I really like are the Boy Scout ones, you know, where they're either they're running or whatever, and they're all standing there looking, you know, into the future, that kind of thing. Those are awesome. But it was a really good exhibit. That and the Monster Truck exhibit, too.
Monster Trucks.
Well, this is the last day of the Norman Rockwell, and you pay the $5 to get into that, and they said, well, since both of them are going on today, you can go into the other one as well. So they had Monster Trucks. So I went and sat in the Gravedigger.
I've had a very interesting week. I earned my stripes as an IT manager this week. Actually, technically, I'm an acting IT manager, so I'm going to acting school at night. We had a rogue DHCP server. This is probably better suited to talk to Kevin Devon on In the Trenches, but I'll just throw out the highlights here. A rogue
what are you talking
DHCP
about? We're about everything here.
If it's tech, it's here. Oh, that didn't come out of my
mouth. Show some enthusiasm, dude.
Rogue DHCP server that caused our quarterly all-call meeting to all the investors to go a little haywire. That was most interesting.
Nice.
We had a denial of service attack Friday morning. Mm-hmm. I had my boss who called me Friday afternoon saying, I'm in the Milwaukee airport on my way to Florida. I have a presentation on Sunday and I forgot my laptop. It's just been a week of anything that could happen has happened.
FedEx overnight.
That's what it did.
Yep.
All right, let's get on with the show then.
All right.
Coming up in tonight's show, we've got lots of listener feedback. We struck a nerve with our comment about a group of geeks. We've got lots of interesting replies to that. We've got a little bit of information on a flying car, if you believe
maybe
that. And response to Joni, who asked us about gadget holders. I found a couple of things that may be of interest. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, Chuck, those acting classes, are they teaching you how to show a little more emotion? Come on, man, pick it up.
Lo, what light breaks my yon windows? On this day in tech history for January 30th, 2006. This is January 30th. It's the 30th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 335 days remaining in 2006. It was on this date in 1790, the first boat specialized as a lifeboat is tested on the River Tyne. And in 1820, Edward Bransfield lands on the Antarctic mainland. The first American ironclad warship, the USS Monitor, is launched on this date in 1862. And on this date in 1911, the destroyer USS Terry makes the first airplane rescue at sea, saving the life of James McCurdy 10 miles from Havana, Cuba. The first of 2,956 episodes of the Lone Ranger radio series airs on station WXYZ in Detroit, Michigan on this date in 1933. And on this date in 1964, Ranger 6 is launched by NASA. Its mission is to carry television cameras and to crash land on the moon. Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1925 to Douglas Engelbart, the American computer scientist. And Christian Bale, the actor who played Batman in Batman Begins, turns 32 today. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for January 30th, 2006.
Any morning is a good morning when you're listening to Chuck and Craig in Technorama. This is Victor Cahiar from the... Hey. What happened to you guys? I thought you were singers. Back to Chuck and Craig.
Nice one, Victor.
That's classic.
Where'd you get those people?
Oh, yeah, that's classic. Thanks, Victor.
Don't hire the smokers next time.
Union rules. Smoke break.
All right, before we do the email, I've got an email sweeper. Actually, I found a whole bunch of little email jingles that I'm going to bring in email with. And this first one, I'll probably will never, ever be played again.
Follow the yellow brick road.
That's what I was thinking. I'm thinking, hey, I could mix these up, use two or three, put some music behind them, you know, some of those swooshy sounds, and that one just jumped out of me. I went, nope, that's so wrong. I got to use that one first and never again.
Yeah.
We've got an email from Charles Stell. We seem to have struck a nerve with that comment about what do you call a group of geeks, and we have some outstanding responses. Thank you very much everybody who sent in comments about that. First one from Charles, packets or frames sounds likely. I like that, a packet of geeks or a frame of geeks. But
I think packets work better.
Only if you're working on the same project. If not, then the Heisenberg factor comes into play, and it doesn't make any difference what you call them, because you can tell where they are, but not how fast they're going, and vice versa. How about a segment on how to tell what kind of person uses a computer by looking at the workstation with the power off and no one around, such as alien PC / Red Bull / pizza equals a gamer.
Ding, ding.
Roll your own PC / coffee cup / peanuts equals a bit twiddler. An e-machine / Diet Coke / celery sticks is a teenage girl doing homework with 7 a.m. windows open. Ooh, Charles gets the canned laughter. He also goes on to say, I've been enjoying the sci-fi intros. Keep up the good work. Charles from the Stick Stell. Thank you very much, Charles.
Yes, thank you.
And then Yorga came back with his idea for a group of geeks. He just wanted to call it a registry.
That makes a lot of sense. That's a pretty good one.
I like that. My follow-up to that would be, well, you know, the registry is really called a hive, and I think a hive of geeks also sounds good.
Wait a minute. I thought the registry had hives in it.
No, well, no. You call it the registry hive. He also says, Craig's kid sounds like a younger version of Craig. That's good.
Yeah, I hope so. That just goes to show cloning does work.
We also got a voice message from Mad Boom.
Hey, Chuck, this is Mad Boom from the Event Horizon podcast, and I'm calling in answer to your question about what a group of geeks is. And a group of geeks is called a con, as in convention. Just thought you'd want to know, and my plug is the Event Horizon podcast at madboom.claws, CLAWZ.com. Thanks, Chuck. Keep up the good work.
That kind of con?
Con!
You know, I couldn't let it go without a Star Trek reference somewhere.
Yeah.
And we will take the shameless plugs.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mad Boom.
Appreciate that.
And, of course, what would it be without some messages from Mark from Memphis? Mark in Memphis.
Hi, this is Mark from Memphis.
Who's Mark from Memphis?
Howdy, this is Mark from Memphis.
I knew a Mark from New Jersey once.
Howdy, this is Mark in Memphis.
Oh, Mark from Memphis.
Hi, this is Mark in Memphis. The eBay thing, one more little piece to know about that. If you go through eBay, you have up to 90 days to make a claim. But they're going to charge you $25 out of it as a fee. And the total you can possibly get back on whatever amount it is $200. That's their limit on it. On the other hand, PayPal allows you up to 60 days, but I've purchased something that was over $300, and I got it all back with no fee doing it through PayPal. So I'm doing my stuff through PayPal and only giving the people a month from now on to get me whatever it is. See ya. Hey, this is Mark in Memphis. A group of geeks is not a gaggle, it's a giga. It's Mark in Memphis. Bye.
The number you have reached has been changed to a non-published number.
A giga. I like that.
That's right. Hey, by the way, I'm on 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm on day 5 of my PayPal fiasco, by the way.
So you're close to getting your money back.
Yeah, next week. Hopefully next week I'll hear something.
I should mention that message from Mad Boom came in through our Skype answering machine. So if you've got Skype, put Chuck Chat in there, and you can get a nice clear message to us. You'll notice there was a discernible difference between Mark's message over the K7 listener line at 206-222-CHAT, that's 2428, and the message that came in from Mad Boom previously. And we've got one more audio comment. This is a wish from Mad Marv in Hawaii.
Hey, Chuck and Craig, this is Mar from Hawaii. I just wanted to say Kung Yi Fat Choi. That's a Happy New Year in the Chinese calendar. And I just want to let you know that there is a party going on in the chat room. You can probably hear Victor playing in the background. And Mark said that had gotten permission to use your credit card to buy pizza for everybody. So I just wanted to say, you know, thanks. And I'll talk to you later after.
Whoa! Hey, wait a minute. He puts in the chat sound, too.
Yeah. You know what? I'm glad it's your credit card, not mine.
Happy Chinese New Year, everybody.
Yes.
Let's give a shout-out to the people in the chat room. We've got Joni, Tim Elliott, Daniel, Mad Marv, wave to us, and Mark Shepard, of course.
That's right.
A party in the chat room. Da-da-da-da-da.
Well, I guess we'll have to get in there late.
And then we'll kill that little gnome that brought in the mail.
That means we have to drive everybody home.
Yeah, that's going to be about it. If they use my credit card, they won't get very far.
Yeah. Oh, well.
On with the news.
Yes. And to start it off with is, did someone find a flying car in Google Maps or not? You decide. This is a link going over to the Register, and there was a flying car, what it looked, or at least what's what it looked like, in Australia. Somebody had spotted on the coast of Australia, and let's see, I'm trying to think, see where exactly where it was at. Anyway, somebody
it was near,
on the scene,
near Perth, I think is what they said.
Yes, that was it. It was like Perth or something like that. It's right off the coast. It's like a little area going off in the water. And at any rate, somebody on the scene had gone and taken pictures, and they showed where this flying car was supposed to be. And if you look at the original picture, it does look like a car compared to the other cars in the parking lot. And it has a shadow which is cast down but over, so the shadow is not directly under it. It's like off to the side a little bit. So it looks like it's hovering in the air.
Very strange.
Yes, and if you look at the pictures that the guy took on the ground, you can see the dirt. This is clearly the same area because it's easy to discern when you look at the Google Maps and you look at this. And there's no signpost. There's nothing. It's just a little brown patch of dirt. And it's kind of funny because there's nothing there to indicate that it was anything natural.
There
other than a flying car.
Several theories, but they've all been disproven because somebody went there with a camera and said, nope, it's not this, and it can't be that. Yeah. And the nearest one of those is 400 meters away, so you make your decision. Are the Jetsons coming, or is there something we don't know about UFOs?
Well, you know, that kind of leads into my next link here I've got. It's a Google video of a real flying car.
Well, yeah, quantify that.
Actually, I think it's more of one of like you ever been to a basketball game or football game or something like, mm-hmm. or I say basketball inside, and they got one of those inflatable things that's floating around, and they got it on the remote control fans.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is. It's a flying car, but
the detail was pretty good. It looked like a real car.
It looks like a real car, and it's like it looks like it could fall and hurt somebody, but it weighs like a couple of pounds. It's inflated. It's pretty cool though.
Yeah, he said it weighed 10 pounds and it cost 5 pounds or something.
Yeah, that's right. I just thought it was very appropriate considering the picture of the flying car in Google Maps.
And on to Hacks and Strange Stories.
That's right.
Hacks and Strange Stories.
No, it's more like Hacks and Strange Stories.
We'll come up with a rejoiner for that. Soon.
Anyway, Yorga sends us a picture of a bunch of Linux boxes.
These are very interesting Linux boxes because I found it just hilarious that somebody would see these and think of us.
Hey, and they're only $10.99. What are these things anyway? What is
it? It looks like sacks of flour. It's spelled L-I-N-U-X, just like the Linux box.
You know what? I'm trying to figure out if this is like a hardware store or something, but I see grocery store carts.
It's no Best Buy, I'll tell you that much.
Well, I'm thinking, actually, what I was thinking, I see the guy in the orange outfit. Of course, for me, I immediately think...
Prisoners?
Home Depot.
Oh.
Prisoners.
You said yeah. Guy in an orange outfit. That's what I think.
Working on the chain. No, I think of Home Depot because the guy hanging out with the orange thing. So I don't know. Jorga's got to send some more detail than this, but this is pretty cool.
And then you found the home theater to beat all home theaters.
Yes, and pardon us, but I think the link's been beat to death this week, so you probably won't be able to visit it. However, the pictures on there are really awesome. This guy has what looks to be like a home theater. It's like in a lower level of his house,
mm-hmm.
So you kind of walk down, and he has lights lining the edge of the walkway. You go down, and the theater itself looks like the bridge of the Enterprise D. It's got the chair sitting in the middle. It's got a huge projector up where the dome was in the middle of the bridge going onto the screen. And he's got panels on the wall covering the speakers, but the sound still comes through. He even has a couple of windows, viewports where you can see the stars moving. I don't know if they're moved, but they see stars through there. So,
that's
it's
cool.
Awesome. It's very cool. It's really cool. So kind of keep an eye on that, that link. Maybe you can, I just pulled it up. There it is. Apparently I think it was beat to death, so his ISP was a little ticked off. But now
I'm
get
still
to
getting
it.
A 503.
I'm not.
You got lucky.
Oh, now I am. I must have a cash page. Anyway. So that was really cool, and I give that guy kudos for pulling it off and not losing his wife.
Cool. Before we get into the main features, well, or what's left of them, I wanted to give one more plug for the contest that we're running. We are going to be running several concurrently for these giveaways. Wednesday, I mentioned that we were giving away a Griffin road trip, and I said that the email address was chuckchatplusroadtrip@gmail.com. And plus is the plus sign. I think somebody tried PLUS. Do not use that. Oh. It won't get there. So Chuck Chat and then a plus sign, roadtrip@gmail.com. And that's really all you need. Some people are throwing in some nice comments. You know, love the show. Keep up the good work. I'm all about the free stuff.
Hey, did you go register Chuck Chat plus road trip?
No.
Why didn't you just do that?
I could, but it was only a one-off. Thought this would be easier. Okay. Fix it or you all don't right. win a road trip.
Yeah.
So good luck to everybody. We are getting a good response on that. Want to get a few more, and we will be giving away more stuff in upcoming shows. Listen to win.
Hi, this is Brian from Coverville, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig from Technorama.
Now I got an email from Joni, one of our faithful listeners. I believe it's Joni from New Hampshire. She writes in, what is the best way you found to mount multiple gadgets in your car for easy access when driving? I've not been greatly impressed by the available suction cup windshield mounts or the vent clips. What is a geek to do? Yeah, I know, pay attention to the road, but besides that. Thanks very much, love the show. Joni. Joni, I found a couple things and I put them in the clips. One is from GBX Direct.
You put them in the what?
I put them in the show notes. What did I say?
Clips. I was like, what? Where am I?
That's
missing something?
I'm looking at. I'm looking at other things.
We have now clips.
Brain, eyes didn't match. Good. And yes, there are lots of people out there that sell the suction cup things. And you know what? My first idea was, dang, if only I could get that interview lined up with the storm chasers, because they've got loads of crap they put in their cars and they need to organize.
Now, see, they would be the people to ask.
I plan on asking that when I can get a hold of one. But so far, my calls for help have gone unanswered to a couple of different
websites. If you are one or you know one, call us.
Storm chasers, alert. I want to talk to you.
Hey. I tell you what I do with my gadgets. I use, I got a new Beetle. Mm-hmm. So, you know how they have the little flower vase in all of them?
You drive a Beetle and it's got a flower vase in it?
Yeah. Do you know that?
I didn't know that.
They all have, actually, well, all the VWs used to have them. And in, even
I'm
the new
I'm having
ones,
60s
so,
flashbacks here, buddy.
Yeah, let man, I'm telling you. They had them mounted. It's the age of Aquarius. Anyway, the flower vase, my cell phone, the little clip on the back,
yeah,
slides right down in there, so I can like hang the cell phone right. It's right in front of me. I can see the dial. So when I got the earbuds in, I can see that somebody's trying to call. So my wife didn't go. I tried to call you three times on the way home. Why didn't you answer? You know. So,
places I found has little clips that you actually mount into the dash. You know, there's always a bezel or something on the
instrument
panel.
I'm not screwing anything into my dash. I can't.
Well, it depends how much you use it. I mean, if it's there all the time.
Why would you put holes in your dash?
No, you don't put holes in your dash. You pull off the bezel, and you mount it to existing screws that are already there.
Well, yeah,
and then you put the bezel back. It just looks like this piece of metal sticking out from between the cracks. It's actually pretty nice looking.
I did make a holder I had an Arco 6000. It's a lot thicker than the iPod, of course, but I had it for a while. And I made a bracket in my car that I had at the time. It was a Saturn. It came with, somebody had a cell phone, one of the cell phones that, it's a car phone, you know, that mounted there with, had the mount. You know, you hang it up and you hang the receiver piece on there. Anyway, I took all that apart, and there's a metal bracket sitting there, and I made one out of metal blanks out of the back of a case.
Yeah, some of these look like they're easy to make. The other one I still use is when I bought my original iPod, I went to extrememac.com and got a case for it. It was like a 7-in-1 kit. Had a cigarette lighter / charger. And it came with two sticky things that I stuck in in various places on the dash panel. And anything that went on my belt clip could just slide in there. So I keep one for my phone and one for my iPod. Well, since then, I've got a different iPod and that case doesn't work anymore. But they're up there on the dash, and it's really easy to just take it off the belt, slide it in there. So that might be another thing. If you just want sticky-on-y things, little U-shaped clips, that's the technical term for it.
Sticky-on-y things?
There's another option. Look at your local car wash or auto parts store. There's a very, like a black pad, about six inches by 9 inches of this very grippy stuff. I don't know what you call it.
I've got two of them.
They're grippy pads for the dash. That's all I know them as. And they work. You can throw your PDA up there, and it will not slide off the dash when you go around corners.
That's pretty cool. You know, I got two of them. We had our, the employee benefits fair type thing at work.
Yeah.
And I went over there, and this person's like getting ready to pack up, and he's like, hey, you want two of these? I was like, sure. So I hadn't even opened them, so.
All right, I say we roll the final.
That went nowhere, didn't it?
Yeah, that's why I'm ready to go on with the next clip.
Okay.
Our final installment of How to Destroy the Earth, with a thank you to the crew from Dr. Floyd, particularly Dr. Steve, lent his voice to this production.
What the chuck?
What's up with that?
Welcome to our countdown of the 10 best ways to destroy the Earth. Well, we've finally reached number one, and this one is titled, Hurled into the Sun. Now, all you will need this time is Earth-moving equipment. Now, the method is quite simple. You just hurl the Earth into the Sun. Sending the Earth on a collision course with the Sun is not as easy as one might think, even though you don't actually have to literally hit the Sun. Send the Earth near enough to the Sun within the Roche limit, and the tidal forces will tear it apart. Now, it's surprisingly easy to end up with the Earth in a loopy elliptical orbit which merely roasts it 4 months in every 8, but careful planning can avoid this. Now, this is impossible at our current technological level, but will be possible one day, I'm certain. In the meantime, it may happen by freak accident if something comes out of nowhere and randomly knocks the Earth in precisely the right direction. Earth's final resting place, a small globule of vaporized iron sinking slowly into the heart of the Sun, brings a tear to my eye. Now, the earliest feasible completion date, via act of God, 25 years' time. Any earlier, and we'd have already spotted the asteroid in question. Via human intervention? Given the current level of expansion of space technology, 2,250 at best. Well, thank you, that's it, and have fun destroying the Earth. Ew.
Hey there, boo-boo. What do you say we listen to Chuck Chat Technorama?
I don't think the ranger would like it very much, Yogi.
What the ranger don't know won't hurt him. Besides, I hear that Chuck is smarter than the average bear.
Yeah, I hear Craig is, too.
Well, that's encouraging. Appreciate the vote of confidence.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, now... Google, the word and you shudder.
Where's my Wear the Craig clip?
You want to Wear the Craig?
Yes. You got yours.
You even put that in there, Wear the Craig. I didn't have it set up. Let me get it. I got it right.
I can't work like this. I cannot work like this. Okay. I've heard about this enough this last week to last me a lifetime. Google is not evil. I'm sick of hearing it. What the deal is Google opened their Chinese website. So is MSN and Yahoo. They've already been there. So here's what I've got to say. Just about every other news story that has come out in the last week has been beaten up on Google on how evil they are that their Chinese version of their website censors search results per the Chinese government. Are they evil? I don't think so. They are a company. People work for that company, and those people like to eat. Google is a company that is out to make money. So are MSN and Yahoo. They are also in China. So, you know, Google's just doing what, you know, they have to be in that same market, appeasing the Chinese government, to be allowed to be there. It's an emerging market, you know, so why not? So Google, you know, so what I'm trying to say is, should we hold Google to their own standards of not censoring results just to make an exception, you know, to not make a few bucks? I say that our laws are not the world's laws.
Agreed.
I don't, you know, if that is the way that they want things over there, that's China's problem. I don't like it. You don't have to like it. Should Google not pursue China because that's the way things are? No. It should be censored. I mean, it's going to be censored with or without Google. So, you know, what's the deal?
And that's the Craig Report.
Yeah, even though I stumbled all over it, I'm still mad. I mean, come on. You know, they're, like I said, they're a company. They're out to make money. The other guys are already in there. So why aren't we beating up on those two as well? Would you expect them just to sit down and say, "Nah, we're not going to bother"? I think it's stupid.
Count to 10. Take deep breaths.
Beer.
And we get on with the show. Beer. Beer. The solution to all life's problems.
That's right.
Now we talk about Star Trek quite a bit on this show.
Yeah, I would say so.
And I don't know. Have you watched any of the fan films for Star Trek?
Yes, I have. I've actually probably seen all the really big ones, especially. I've seen them. I've seen them all. One of my favorites is The New Voyages. Have you seen that?
I saw part of one. I haven't had a chance to sit down and watch the rest of them.
Man, these things are awesome. The level that they brought it to. And what's funny is the acting, yes, is admittedly a little, you know, cheesy because these are amateur actors.
Mm-hmm.
But the, I say the sets, the costumes, everything is just awesome with these things. Now, I was reading, and this is in our geek library, about The New Voyages. This is a link to Wired Magazine, which this came out in December. They were talking about the next episode, which is coming out, I think this spring. And it actually has Chekhov in it. You know, it has Walter Koenig, or
oh,
how you
neat.
Say his name? How you say that?
I always said Koenig, but I've heard Koenig.
Well, he is actually in this one. They gave him an opportunity to wrap up his character, you know, because they never did it in a movie, and I doubt they will. So he's like, you know, he didn't want him just to, you know, fade away. So they're giving him an out. And not only that, but DC Fontana is writing this.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And they have some makeup artists who, and I'm sorry, I don't have their names right in front of me, that have, you know, done a lot of the makeup and whatnot for Star Trek and other sci-fi films are doing some of their makeup on this particular episode. So it's starting to grow. And the guy, Max Rehm, who does the special effects, actually does the special effects for, guess what, Chuck? Star Trek.
I was going to say Battlestar Galactica, but I knew that didn't sound right.
No. But he's been doing special effects on Star Trek.
Oh, neat.
And he has been doing some stuff, I mean, at Paramount. And I even saw an interview on G4 TV with these guys, with the two guys that play, James Colley and, I'll have to find their names. Anyway, the guy that plays Kirk and Spock. They were on there and they were talking about the show and they were saying that Max Rehm has done a lot of the stuff that in the studios where Paramount works, and Paramount, a couple people caught him working on it and they kind of looked the other way, you know, so he thought he was definitely going to lose his job, but they kind of looked the other way. So it was kind of a, it's okay to do it, just don't talk about it type thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they felt pretty good about that. But the special effects are awesome and it's cool to see the old Enterprise flipping around and, you know, doing like a high energy turn, you know, some really cool stuff. They're really bringing this up to speed. Anyway, the article talks about what they're doing, and guess who's coming up in the episode right after that?
Let's see. We mentioned Walter George Takei.
Yep, he is going to play Sulu in this next one.
Cool.
So yes, I'm looking forward to these. These are turning out pretty good. And these take place, if you're not familiar with New Voyages, it takes place after the third season of the original original series. up to, excuse me, the Star Trek The Motion Picture. It's in between those.
Oh, really?
Because, you know, there was a 5-year mission, but it was only 3 years, so they're trying to fill in those little blanks.
Well, yeah, MASH was supposed to be the Korean War, which lasted 3 years, but they had, what, about 11 seasons out of that?
Yeah, 10, 11,
so about
like that.
Four things would have happened every day?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
All right, moving on, we've got the pictorial history of hard drives. This one's from CNET, if I remember right.
That's right. And, you know, I put this in, I saw this, and I put this in here because, you know, we had talked about that huge stinking capstan-looking hard drive.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And anyway, that made me think of that, so I that's why I threw that in here.
They've got everything from the really old IBM stuff that held a whopping 5 megabytes to the dinky little things the size of, you know, Cheerios these days. It's just amazing.
Those things
are tiny. Yep. It's just amazing how they've changed. And, you know, the one that cracked me up was when they went from the first gigabyte hard drive that went from a whopping 121 kilograms down to 42 kilograms, and they advertised it as the first mainframe hard drive that could be lifted by a human.
That's like a good feature.
1 gigabyte for 42 kilograms. That's like 100 pounds.
Yeah. And you know what's cool? Some of the later pictures, like you said, 8, 9, and 10, there's like 10 pictures on here, 8, 9, 10. Those last three, they actually show you how small some of these drives are come. And one of them, I think this is number 8, is like the compact flash.
Yeah, the IBM drive. Micro drive. I've got one of those.
Yeah. And these are, let's see, I think some of these were in the iPod minis is what it says. Mm-hmm. Number 9 actually shows one that is smaller than a domino. Things are awesome.
Good stuff. So, we like the history stuff. We like showing how we got from there to here. Yeah. And with that, we come to the end of the show.
Yes. And now it's your turn to respond to us. Caller, listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. You can email Chuck at chuck@chuckchat.com. Send audio comments to chuckchat@gmail.com. Don't forget our contest at chuckchat+roadtrip@gmail.com. And I'm getting all joked up.
Or anyway, you can email Craig at chuckchat.com. Don't forget to visit the website, www.chuckchat.com, for all the forum, swag, webcam, mail list, links to the show notes, and much, much more.
Much more. Much more. Very much more.
How much more, you ask? Go and see.
Go see for yourself.
Thank you for listening, as always. We appreciate it. Keep in touch. Until next time, take care. And as always, a big binary high five.
101.
Where is that magical studio voice coming from?
Here. No, I'm over here.
Goodbye, magical studio voice. What you have just heard is not, in fact, Technorama. It was just a weather balloon that crash-landed near Roswell, New Mexico. Thank you.